from all ills. Such a womanish cry does no credit to a man. Consider in what attitude you shall receive this prayer of mine. I offer it not only in a good, but in a noble spirit. May gods and goddesses alike forbid that fortune keep you in luxury. Ask yourself voluntarily which you would choose if some god gave you the choice. A life in a cafe or life in a camp. And yet life, Lucilius, is really a battle. For this reason, those who are tossed about at sea, who proceed uphill and downhill over toilsome crags and heights, who go on campaigns that bring the greatest danger, they are heroes and front rank fighters. But persons who live in rotten luxury and ease while others toil are mere turtle doves, safe only because men despise them. Farewell. Letter 97. On the Degeneracy of the Age. You are mistaken, my dear Lucilius, if you think that luxury, neglect of good manners, and other vices of which each man accuses the age in which he lives, are especially characteristic of our own epoch. No, they are the vices of mankind, and not of the times. No era in history has ever been free from blame. Moreover, if you once begin to take account of the irregularities belonging to any particular era, you will find, to man's shame be it spoken, that sin never stalked abroad more openly than in Cato's very presence. Would anyone believe that money changed hands in the trial when Clodius was defendant on the charge of secret adultery with Caesar's wife, when he violated the ritual of that sacrifice, which is said to be offered on behalf of the people when all males are so rigorously removed outside the precinct that even pictures of all male creatures are covered up. And yet, money was given to the jury, and, baser even than such a bargain, sexual crimes were demanded of married women and noble youths as a sort of additional contribution. The charge involved less sin than the acquittal, for the defendant on a charge of adultery parceled out the adulteries, and was not sure of his own safety until he had made the jury criminals like himself. All this was done at the trial in which Cato gave evidence, although that was his sole part therein. I shall quote Cicero's actual words, because the facts are so bad as to pass belief. He made assignations, promises, pleas, and gifts. And more than this, merciful heavens, what an abandoned state of affairs, upon several of the jury, to round out their reward, he even bestowed the enjoyment of certain women and meetings with noble youths. It is superfluous to be shocked at the bribe. The additions to the bribe were worse. Will you have the wife of that prig, eh? Very good. or of B, the millionaire. I will guarantee that you shall lie with her. If you fail to commit adultery, condemn Clodius. That beauty whom you desire shall visit you. I assure you, a night in that woman's company without delay. My promise shall be carried out faithfully within the legal time of postponement. It means more to parcel out such crimes than to commit them. It means blackmailing dignified matrons. These jurymen, in the Clodius trial, had asked the Senate for a guard, a favor which would have been necessary only for a jury about to convict the accused, and their request had been granted. Hence the witty remark of Catullus after the defendant had been acquitted. Why did you ask us for the guard? Were you afraid of having your money stolen from you? And yet, amid jests like these, he got off unpunished, who before the trial was an adulterer, during the trial a pander, and who escaped conviction more vilely than he deserved it. Do you believe that anything could be more disgraceful than such moral standards, when lust could not keep its hands either from religious worship or from the courts of law, when, in the very inquiry which was held in special session by order of the Senate, more crime was committed than investigated. The question at issue was whether one could be safe after committing adultery. It was shown that one could not be safe without committing adultery. All this bargaining took place in the presence of Pompey and Caesar, of Cicero and Cato. Yes, that very Cato, whose presence, it is said, caused the people to refrain from demanding the usual quips and cranks of naked actresses at the Floralia, if you can believe that men were stricter in their conduct at a festival than in a courtroom. Such things will be done in the future, as they have been done in